Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Of course, I wonder when people see weird creatures, are they accurately describing what they're seeing? There's so much pop culture. How can you get an accurate picture, a true picture of what the phenomenon is?
That's a great question. What you're looking for when you're talking to a witness is some little tidbit that maybe I know, but the typical person, even if they're familiar with Bigfoot, the phenomenon or the creature that's supposed to be out there, they wouldn't necessarily be familiar with. In the past, one of the things that people in the know, so to speak, that they would use to try to separate what they think is a legitimate report from a hoax or a case of mistaken identity, take a trackway, for example. It's pretty generally accepted that when these things walk, it's not absolute, but the prints that are left behind are almost like, it's almost like they're walking a tightrope. They're right in front of each other. You know, whereas a human walking, they're more side by side. You know, there's a gap between the prints as they go forward. Where these, you know, you see a left foot and then X number of feet in front of it, you'll see the right foot comes down, but you could draw, it's almost like it's walking on a tightrope. And that was a little insider information that a lot of the old timers would use when they're trying to discern, is this a legitimate trackway or is this something that somebody with some rubber feet or wooden feet stamped out, you know, put fake prosthetics of some kind on their feet and ran around. So you look for certain little tidbits like that, for them to say something that we've observed, or they heard something that we observed and that we've heard that is not general knowledge. Now, you don't always get that. So sometimes, you know, you just, you're almost like a detective trying to just look for signs of deception. Does the person, do they agree to meet you? That's the first thing. Do they take your phone call? Will they meet you in person? Will they take you to the site? If the answer is no, then you almost have to just file that one away as, well, that's probably not legitimate. Now, sometimes people maybe just, I don't want to get involved. And maybe what they saw was legit. But if they're willing to take you to a spot, I mean, they're really doubling and tripling down when they do that. And that's a pretty good sign. And then sometimes just some of the things that you know, the appearance or the smell or what they heard, that will ring true to us. And there's some other things sometimes that you're like, that's a little shady. And so that's the kind of thing you look for. And it, certainly there's a bit of an art to it. And I don't have any doubt that there's been some people who may have fooled some researchers in the past by doing a little homework and telling a believable story, and I have no doubt that there's some legitimate reports that probably were dismissed because they didn't hit one of those little tidbits, you know. But most of the time, there's something there, just the behavior of the person in their description, in the behavior they observed, there's something in it that will ring that bell and let you know one way or the other whether this person is telling you the truth or not.
Within, you know, your group, the North American Wood Ape Conservancy, has there been any really good sightings with people in this group? I mean, something where people are like, oh my God, look at that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. A lot of people joined the group because they had some kind of experience like that. That's what kind of, you know, rattled their cage and got them interested in the phenomenon to start with. You know, they had an experience. But just during the course of our work there in Area X and some other places, we have had members have visuals. And the question you get is, well, okay, where are all the pictures then? Where's the video? And it's a legitimate question. The problem is they're very fleeting. I mean, you're talking a second or two and it's gone. You know, it's a flash. I think people have a exaggerated sense of what kind of visual we should be having based on the Patterson-Gimlin footage, mm-hmm. where they see this, you know, giant ape just strolling across the sandbar, you know, and it's in sight for, I don't know how long the clip actually is, but it's like a minute or more. Where we're operating, the terrain just isn't like that, and it is just a flash, and it's gone. And the other part of that is for many years, we weren't trying to get photographic evidence or video. We were in the collection business. We were trying to procure a specimen, because ultimately I think that's what it's going to take to prove to science that this is actually a real animal. I think more than ever today, more than in 1967, you know, people are just going to yell Photoshop or CGI or something because of the ease, you know, just common guy can go down to Circuit City. Well, I'm showing my age, as I said Circuit City, but you can go down to Staples or Office Max, or and they sell photo editing software with all kinds of effects you can put in there, and somebody that really knows what they're doing, they can do amazing things. And so today, yeah, there's a lot of technology, and everyone's got a phone with a camera and all this stuff. But I think more than ever, people, I mean, look at all the stuff on YouTube. How many of those videos do we really think might be legitimate? Probably not very many.
That's the biggest problem of all. And as you say, you can get cheap software. You can get cheap software online. Users of the Apple iOS and Mac OS platforms can get lots of software, very inexpensive. You get Final Cut Pro 10, and you get motion and compressor, and you can do all sorts of things. You can get some of the fanciest CGI apps, because a lot of those are done on Macs. So that's not something that requires a great amount of expense. It requires imagination. And Yes. Even if you get free software, someone's imagination tells it all. But the problem, of course, with this entire business, and this goes even to UFOs, and I can ask you a bit later if you have any interest in those, the problem with this is that we're not acquiring the evidence to prove, here's a strange creature, we can't figure out what it is, here's the scat, here's the DNA, here is something that we can prove it with. It's always a step or two away from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think there's some misunderstanding about how DNA evidence works. We have some blood evidence. We have some material that should have DNA on it that we've had tested. And you've probably heard this from other groups and sources as well. It always comes back as contaminated or it's human. And the way DNA works is there's actually a bank. It's a repository of the DNA of every creature known to walk the earth. And when you get a sample, your sample is compared to what's in that bank. And if it doesn't appear, if it's something anomalous, that it's something novel, my experience has been it's going to be classified. At best, they'll tell you it's unknown. That's the best you can hope for. And at worst, they're going to say, "Well, it must be contaminated because there's nothing in the database that shows, you know, and it's close to human, so it must be human." And that's typically, you know, what happens. That's what happens with hair evidence. That's what's happened with blood evidence. Unknown. That would be exactly what you would expect a legitimate DNA sample of a Sasquatch, that you would expect that to be the result. But instead of that being intriguing to people, they just throw it out. And I think most people think if you had real DNA, they'd test it. Oh, yeah, this is Bigfoot. And it would be, now it's in all the wildlife books and everything, and that's just not how it works. And people don't understand that. And the other thing they don't understand is, where did those DNA samples in the database come from? They came from holotypes. They came from specimens that were collected.
That's it. We're going to break here for a moment, then we'll continue with Michael, Tim, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So this is a cart before the horse situation. In order to seriously evaluate the possibility that the DNA you got is of a Bigfoot, you've got to have a Bigfoot sample sitting there. It's also possible, they're so closely related to humans or some other conventional animal that the differences will not be significant.
Yeah, I mean, we're so similar, not just to apes. I think it's pretty well-known fact that I think we're about 96-97% of our DNA is the same as a chimpanzee. But what a lot of people don't realize is 90% of our DNA is the same as a rat. I mean, that's how similar we all are. There's just these very small differences. And of course, you know, you're talking about, I don't know how many pairs of genes, you know, you're talking about in a strand of DNA. But, and when someone tests DNA, they're comparing them to to known primers, you know, that, okay, this is probably the most similar to what they've got. And they're not testing. They're not looking at every single gene in a DNA sample. It would be impossible almost. But what it's going to take is for someone with a little faith that these animals are real to get a sample that they believe is legitimate because of the context under which it was acquired.
Now, when you made the reference here before, I was thinking of the phrase from the movies, "You Dirty Rat." And you never know how close people come to that, Tim.
There was the case last year where they did the environmental DNA at a location in Kentucky. And that is where they had evidence that, you know, possibly, you know, a wood ape had been at this location. So they took dirt samples that would then reveal all the animals that had been in that area, and at one of the samples came back as pan troglodyte, which is a chimpanzee. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as I know, there's no chimpanzees in Kentucky.
Not naturally occurring, for sure.
No.
You know, and that's where you do your homework. Is there a primate sanctuary, you know, somewhere in the area? Have they had any get out? You have to cover those bases. You have to check those boxes. But you're right. They did a similar thing over at Loch Ness with environmental DNA, taking water samples at various depths in different parts of the loch, looking for something anomalous. But the thing about any DNA test, it has to be repeatable. You may get some kind of weird, anomalous result, but if, okay, my peer over at the University of whatever or down at the Smithsonian, he needs to be able to repeat this test and get the same result. That's how science is done. It has to be repeatable. And to do that, you got to have a specimen. You have to have a piece of the animal, because without it, you can't repeat it, and you don't have something to compare it to, and it's going to be thrown out. It might be categorized as compelling, interesting, but it's not going to be added to the canon of known animals. It's just not.
So what do we do? How do we prove the existence of an animal with DNA that we're not going to be able to catalog in any meaningful way? There are very few tracks. What do we do?
You know, it's an unfortunate fact, and I don't relish this at all, but I think it's going to take a body. I think it's going to take a specimen. And I don't think anybody is excited about pulling the trigger on one of these things. You know, the best case scenario would be if we're in our study area and we come across the body of one that clearly is 80 or 90 years old and died peacefully in its sleep or something. And then we have our specimen. No animal was killed before its time. And there you go. And you've got it. Maybe, you know, you've heard a lot of stories about logging trucks in East Texas and the Pacific Northwest that had close calls, almost hit one of these things, or in some cases did, but it limped off into the woods or whatever. Something that occurs like that, or it could be a hunter that takes one. But I think that ultimately that's the only thing that the scoffers and the skeptics will not be able to crap all over is you put one on a slab. Here you go. There it is. Or here's a piece of the animal. Because you don't have to have a huge, you know, 9-foot specimen to repeat the DNA testing in different locations at different laboratories. But I think that's what it's going to take. I don't think any video or photograph will be good enough. And I don't think genetic evidence without that specimen to go back to will be accepted by the true mainstream scientists of the world. I just don't think it'll happen. I would love to be wrong about that, but I don't think I am.
Okay, looking at this mystery, we are assuming physical creatures that we haven't basically classified yet. Any possibility of paranormal origins?
Well, all I can tell you about is my experience and the experience of my fellow NAWAC members. We've heard all the stories about telepathy and how they spoke to you and, you know, using their minds. And they'll tell you, I saw one step into a portal or out of a portal, and, you know, all kinds of stories that range from the fairly benign to the outright just really out there, you know. My experience, those of our members, we haven't experienced anything along those lines that would be even remotely considered paranormal. Everything, every behavior, interaction, visual, auditory sound, you know, it all fits very neatly under the great ape behavioral parallel, that umbrella. Now, what's interesting is the behaviors aren't like only an orangutan or only a gorilla or only a chimp. The wood ape, the Sasquatch, seems to be a kind of this amalgamation of all of them. It has some characteristics. It does some things gorillas do, but it does some things that chimps do, and it does some things that orangutans do. But it all fits under that umbrella very neatly from what we've experienced and seen. Now, I'm an open-minded guy. If I see a UFO land and the ramp comes out and a couple walk out into the woods, I'm going to have to reevaluate. But at this point, I haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe that. An overused axiom is, you know, incredible claims, you need incredible evidence or something along those lines. And I think the existence of the animal is amazing enough. And I'm really hesitant to explain one mystery by attributing it to another mystery, if that makes sense.
You were talking earlier about getting a body. Either, mm-hmm. You know, eventually one's going to get hit by a truck or a hunter is going to get it. Yet a lot of hunters who have had one of these things in their sights are really loath, have been loath to pull the trigger because they look so human.
Before we go on to trigger pulling, let's talk with Michael and Tim and Gene. Our next segment, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
My name is Stephen Hewer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
USA Radio News.
A little bit more than 3 days after President Biden was cleared to exit coronavirus isolation, he has tested positive for COVID-19 again.
Hey folks, Joe Biden here. Tested positive this morning. White House physician Dr. Kevin O'Connor said in a letter that Biden had not experienced any reemergence of symptoms and continues to feel well. O'Connor said that there is, quote, no reason to reinitiate treatment at this time. In accordance with Center for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines, the 79-year-old president will re-enter isolation for at least 5 days. The agency says most rebound cases are rare, remain mild, and that severe disease during the period has not been reported. This is USA Radio News. Indiana state senators passed a near-total abortion ban Saturday during a rare weekend session. The bill will prohibit abortions from the time a fertilized egg implants in a uterus. The only exception would be allowed in cases of rape and incest, but a patient seeking an abortion for either reason would have to sign a notarized affidavit attesting to the attack.
The winner of an open seat on the town council in Chapin, South Carolina, will be decided by write-in votes. That's because no one filed their candidacy with the Lexington County Election Commission for the open seat by the noon Friday deadline. So the town, northwest of Columbia, will proceed with the September 13th special election with no names printed on the ballot. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yeah, you don't want to accidentally shoot someone who's been living off the grid for 50 years.
Well, and the point that I was getting to is that, first of all, I mean, do you think these things are intelligent? And by intelligent, I mean close to human intelligence. And then taking that next step, do you think that they're pretty closely related to humans? I mean, you said earlier that, you know, the great apes, chimpanzees especially, I mean, we're, you know, just you know, really just a few genes off. Do you think that these things are in line to being, you know, almost like, you know, kissing, maybe even breeding cousins?
That's a good question. And I think they're at least as close as the known great apes are to us, maybe even a little more. So if a chimp is 97%, and don't take that number as gospel, but it's in that neighborhood, maybe these are 99% genetically the same. That still doesn't make them human necessarily. About the only thing that we have in common with them as far as truly human characteristics is this bipedalism, this walking on two legs. And the hunters that you know, growing up in Texas and, you know, speaking for myself and others, you don't shoot anything on two legs. That's a person, because that's the only thing in the woods it could be that walks on two legs, right? It has to be a person. So when they say it looks human, a lot of times when you dig a little deeper, it's not that they physically really look human. I mean, they're covered in hair. They're monstrous in size. They're, you know, they're clearly not a person, but they look human. What that means, it was walking on 2 feet. Therefore, it's human. You know, it has to be, right? Because that's all it can be in their mind. Now, you get into the question of what makes a human human. Is it just because it walks on 2 feet, it's human. I think there's more to it than that. You know, we haven't uncovered any evidence that they use fire or can control that. Humans like their stuff, you know, they adorn themselves, they collect things, they carry things with them. When they're buried with their stuff and their ceremonies and belief systems. And we haven't seen anything that would lead us to believe that there's anything like that going on with these creatures. I understand to a degree the hesitancy, how it's distasteful just to say a specimen is needed, but I think what you have to do is you have to get away from thinking of the individual, and you have to think of the population as a whole. What I would be in favor of would be taking one to save them all, because habitat destruction is a real deal. Hunters aren't going to make these things go extinct. It's when you bulldoze the woods, that's what's going to make them go extinct, right? And so to get protected habitat, you have to first prove it's a real animal. I can't go to the government with a petition. We want to create a wood ape sanctuary, a Sasquatch sanctuary in southeast Oklahoma that's off limits to development. I might as well be asking for a unicorn sanctuary to be created, right?
Well, in this day and age, a lot of people would say, even if you could prove the unicorn or the Sasquatch, it doesn't matter if they don't deserve that kind of protection.
Well, you know, I don't know how you can. Hopefully you talk to some people with some more sense than that. But the first thing, I think the first step, you know, that's we'll fight that battle once we prove it's real. And, you know, our group, you know, Conservancy is part of the name. And people say, well, that doesn't match up. You're in favor of killing one. That's not conserving. Well, that's the way science works. And you're conserving the population. Yes, this individual will pay the price, so to speak, you know, possibly. But if it saves all of them, you know, to make a very shallow and poor comparison, but we've been talking about movies. What's the asteroid movie that's going to hit the Earth with Bruce Willis, you know, is the main character, and Ben Affleck's in it, Armageddon?
Armageddon? Yeah, I think so.
There were two that came out almost the same time, but I think that's the one.
Yes. Well,
Bruce Willis sacrifices himself, right? He lands on the asteroid, and he, the only way that he's got to blow the asteroid up by setting off this, you know, nuclear device, and it can only be set off by him physically doing it. And so he's going to sacrifice himself for the whole planet, for the whole human population. And that's, in a way, that's a ridiculous comparison. It's just a movie and all that stuff. But in a way, it is apropos in the sense that this one specimen who pays the ultimate price by getting hit by a truck, being shot by a hunter, dying of old age and being found, whatever the case may be, that's going to be the most important individual of his species to ever have existed, because that's the individual who will get them all protected and saved, theoretically. You know, and so that's the way I try to get people to think. And, you know, it's a very emotional thing, you know, for a lot of people. And they can't get past that death of the individual. And they can't think in terms of a population. But that's the way it works. That's the way I think it's going to have to happen. I think it's the only way that it'll happen. I wish there was another way, and maybe, you know, science is advancing all the time. Maybe this environmental DNA will come along. Maybe at some point video, okay, that's absolutely real. Maybe there'll be a way they can discern that and not suspect CGI or special effects or something. But right now, I think that's the way it has to be.
Well, then we'd have to assume they're intelligent enough to survive the capture, behave themselves, and be used or willing to be used as a specimen to preserve their species.
Well, no, I let me be clear. The specimen would have to be dead. That's it. It's going to have to be a dead body. because I would not be in favor of putting one, a living one, in a cage. I think that's about as cruel a thing as you can do to anything in a lot of ways. So I think... I think that's what's going to have to happen. And there was a primate, a monkey that was discovered, I want to say, in Central or South America within the last couple of years. And it was hailed and it was written up in these journals. And they published this article on it and all the statistics on it and measurements and this and that. Well, you know how they got all that information is they shot one out of a tree. That's what happened, you know, and here's this brand new, monkey we don't recognize. Well, that might be a new species. So they shot it. That's the way it works. And it's kind of the ugly side that people don't talk about, but that's the way it is. And like I said, I don't want to be the one to do it. I wish there were some other way. Like I said, nothing would throw me more than finding remains of an animal that passed away of some sort of natural causes, but if you ask what's it going to take, it's going to take that specimen. That's unfortunately what I believe.
Okay, finding a dead specimen. Why hasn't it happened yet? After all these years, all these sightings, we can't find one specimen mm-hmm. to use?
Well, the explanation probably won't be completely satisfactory to you or anyone else listening, but the fact of the matter is nature doesn't allow bodies to just lay around very long intact. Predators do their part, then the vultures and the insects get after it, and the bones are scattered. They're eaten, they're chewed on, they're dragged around. And I think it's very possible remains have actually been found. I see bones in the woods all the time.
Hey, all the time we have these announcements, 12 times during the show, with Michael, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, My husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
And by the way, neighbors, Michael Mays will return for after the Paracast. We've got 1,001 questions to ask him. Let's get back to proving the reality of Sasquatch. So you're suggesting here, Michael, that maybe we've already recovered something significant, but we don't recognize it?
Right. Yeah, I think it's very possible that there are bones in some museums. You know, it's in a drawer somewhere. There's all kinds of stuff that hasn't been found, hasn't been cataloged or studied or had DNA testing done on it. And, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Hiker out for a joy walk out in the mountains and, you know, a Pike's Peak or wherever they may be, they may find a bone. Oh, this is cool. They have no idea what it is. I mean, how many of us are familiar with anatomy? How many of us are anatomists? You know, what kind of bone is it? Most people, oh, it's a deer or a hog or something, and they don't think anything about it. I think the only thing that would ring a bell with almost everybody would be basically an intact skull, and that's just hardly going to happen. You know, acidic soils, carnivores, scavengers, they're going to take a carcass to pieces. A body just doesn't last very long. You think there has to be, for example, more bears out there. I know there are in the Ouachitas where we're doing our work. They're everywhere. In 16, 17 years of going out there, do you know how many dead bears I've found or remains of bears? Zero. Not a single one. And I know they're out there. You know, I was out there for a week last month and had 16 different bear visuals in a week. Never found any remains of a bear. Bodies just don't last very long in a natural setting. It gets lots of rain. It's humid. It's hot. Acidic soils. Like I said, the different animal life that's going to feed on it. And then you add to the fact an animal that's sick, say it is hurt or has an illness. You think of an old dog. You know, a neighbor of mine years ago had an old hound dog got bit by a rattlesnake and it went up under the house. It got as far away from people. It felt bad. It didn't want to be touched. It didn't want to be fooled with. It went as far into as remote and inaccessible of places it could get to. And, you know, it was a deal where he was like, well, it's going to die or it's going to lick it and it'll come out in a day or two. And I think the same kind of phenomenon happens out in the woods. You know, something that's sick or hurt, it's going to go the most remote spot it can find where it's going to be left alone, and it's either going to get better and leave, you know, or it's going to pass away there. And somewhere that remote and hard to get to, you're just not going to come across it very easily.
Now, the other consideration here is, what is the intelligence level of a Bigfoot, and are they intelligent enough to want to do something with their own dead?
Boy, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I think they are, from what we've seen, they're very furtive, they're very clever, they do learn. They make mistakes. They tend to not repeat them. But I've not seen anything more that would convince me they're on a par with, you know, true human intelligence. Burying the dead, I don't know. I have no idea. That's certainly one theory some people are proponents of as to why we haven't found one. Others say they eat their dead, you know, and it's one of those deals. It's all speculation at this point. We just don't know.
Well, I mean, we see that behavior with the great apes, where they'll take an individual and, I mean, they will bury it, but they'll drag it off the beaten track, so to speak.
Right, right. And you've all heard stories, you know, of elephant graveyards, and they're always in some super remote, hard to get to place where it doesn't get a lot of traffic, animal or human. And if something like that's going on, that plays into why we haven't found any.
So if, in a just perfect scenario, you know, every group like this has this wish. You know, you get a benefactor who would give your group unlimited amounts of money. What would your group, do you think, would do with that money? What kind of technologies do you think you would bring into play or whatever to help further your research?
Well, I think the thing we would do, obviously we would invest in thermal imagers that could take video and the, you know, the best photography equipment and all that kind of stuff, you know. But I think the best way to spend a resource like that, if you had that kind of money, you need to hire people to be in the field 24/7. I think that, you know, why we not found them, the number one reason is really, as far as percentages, nobody's looking. That's the number one reason right there. So few people are out there for so little amounts of time that statistically, you know, we're looking 0% of the time. It's like these game cameras. You know, we had 24 game cameras out in the big thicket for years. Project called Operation Forest Vigil. Well, this is a 25,000 acre unit. We got a couple dozen cameras. Statistically, we're not even watching 0.5% of the land out there. So the idea, the percentages, the idea that something's going to stumble across one of these cameras, you know, that chance is pretty low. So I think the best use of resources would be, you got to have people in the field all the time. And you can rotate them in and out. You know, it doesn't have to be the same poor guy that's out there for 365 days in a row. But you have to have people in the field. I compare it to the way they got pictures of the snow leopard over, I believe it was in Nepal, maybe Tibet. They had these wildlife photographers hanging off in a blind off the side of one mountain, focused on this specific ridge across this gorge. And I forget how many months they were out there, and they finally got, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of footage after just months and months of just continuous presence. That's what I think would be the best use of that money.
Ideally, you need a group of scientists who were interested enough or got the grant, as if anyone's giving out grants for Bigfoot research.
Exactly.
Make it so. We're going to have to end this in a moment or two. Then we're going to have you back with After the Paracast for further discussions. But can you tell our listeners where we can find more of what you do and what are your plans for the near term?
Well, again, you can find out more about what I'm doing. I have a blog site, the Texas Cryptid Hunter blog site. I've been doing that for better than a decade now and have enjoyed that. And it's a little more variety to it than just Bigfoot-type stuff. If you want to know about the North American Wood Ape Conservancy, it's woodape.org. I highly encourage you to visit it. The book I've just written is called Valley of the Apes: The Search for Sasquatch in Area X. That's available on Amazon and Books A Million and Barnes & Noble and all those places where you could buy online books. There's a Kindle version that's out there if you prefer that, and would really appreciate that. If you want a signed copy, you can get in touch with me. My email is mikemaze44@yahoo.com. and you can contact me directly, and we can work that out if you want a signed copy. But those right now are probably the three best spots to see what I and my organization are up to.
Just think, a regular school teacher, and in the dark of night, he is searching for strange creatures of the night. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Go check out our branded merchandise at theparacast.shop, where we offer special logos. We offer real high-quality T-shirts and throw pillows and all that good stuff. I'm not mentioning much about Facebook because Facebook will not put the Paracast.com URL on their site. And I've complained. But then again, Tim Swartz has conspiracyjournal.com, which is a perfectly benign name, and they won't do that. They allow lots of crazy stuff there, but who knows. We also offer the Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus includes this show, free of the network ads. And we also offer the After the Paracast podcast, where we extend the discussions with guests, have special features, that sort of thing. And every so often, we've got other special recordings, like, believe it or not, and we disbelieve it, we actually have Billy Meyer speaking in English with our staff announcer, Bob Zanotti, recorded years ago. This way, at least you hear what he has to say, even though it's pretty wacky. To sign up with the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. Get this. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, to save 20% on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions, theparacast.plus. Michael, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. I enjoyed it very much.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.